March 3rd is Super Tuesday, the day that Coloradans officially get a say in the presidential primary. Today, we want to turn to an important piece of the primary puzzle, what votes actually mean for delegate allocation in our state. We called up our state parties to talk about how the allocation process works. We spoke with Don Itterberg, senior advisor to the Colorado Republican Party.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And Halisi Vinson, the executive director of the Colorado Democratic Party.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Colorado Republicans will award 37 delegates based on the results from Tuesday. Colorado Democrats, on the other hand, will award 67 delegates based on primary results. This is less than some other states, like California with 415 delegates or Texas with 228, but still more than, say, Vermont with 15 or Maine with 24.
In Colorado, the delegates are awarded based on statewide and congressional district level results. Here's Halisi Vinson.
So if I think about it, our delegates are awarded in two ways. One is that we will look at the congressional numbers. So if someone gets more votes in Congressional District 5 than Congressional District 1, and then the total amount of delegates that they get is more than candidate B, then yes, that conceivably could be the case, because Congressional District 5 does not get as many delegates to the National Convention as Congressional District 1. How that is allotted is dependent upon turnout in past years, Democratic turnout in past years. So those areas that have higher Democratic turnout, Congressional District 1, Congressional District 2, pulling up the rear is 6 and 7, will get have more delegates going to national convention than those other congressional districts.
Colorado Democrats will allocate 23 delegates based on statewide results and 44 based on congressional district results.
And there's a threshold of votes a candidate must receive to get any delegates in Colorado. Here's Don Itterberg.
They are not winner-take-all unless a candidate gets more than 50% of the vote, in which case they do. If there were multiple candidates, there are, for example, on the Colorado ballot for the Republican primary, there are six candidates, including President Donald Trump. While they are all eligible to receive delegates, the probability is that not all of them will receive enough votes to clear a threshold where they would be allocated any.
That threshold Itterberg referred to is a viability threshold. On the Republican side, the threshold is 20%. On the Democratic side, it's 15%.
The polls close at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, and while we might see some initial results then because of the volume of early voting in our state, Halisi Vinson with the Colorado Dems says it may take longer and may depend on last-minute efforts to get out the vote.
Depending upon what kind of GOTV efforts the candidates are making, and we've seen this in previous campaigns where a lot of folks have turned in their ballots day of or the night before and or registered and voted that same day, which we can do here in Colorado, that if those numbers are significant, that is going to be the indicator of whether we can call it on Tuesday or not.
There are two notable changes to this nominating process in our state for the 2020 election. The first is the switch from a caucus to a primary for the presidential contest. And the second is that unaffiliated voters can choose which party to vote in.
We asked Don Itterberg about what the effect will be of having an open primary, meaning unaffiliated voters will get both ballots in the mail and choose which ballot to return.
I was not in favor of that legislation when it went through, believing that people who want to participate in a inside party election should be members of the party. It'd be sort of like going to a club and allowing the president of the club to be elected from somebody who's not a member of the club. I think that's sort of unusual. But the question, I think, is how many unaffiliated voters will participate in the process and then cast a ballot for either party. I'm guessing, and I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing it'll probably be 20, maybe 25% of the unaffiliated voters will choose to cast a ballot, and obviously they will be counted in with the registered members of the party. So, yeah, there could be some effect, but I think predominantly the members of the parties will cast the ballots in a greater total and be more effective in nominating the candidates.
We'll bring you a roundup of the election results and takeaways about voter turnout in our state on Wednesday.